Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're able to join us today. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship. First, we thought you'd be excited to know, as you can see behind me, that there is some big work going on here. We're having our organ cleaned and repaired to make sure that it's in tip-top shape. And while we're doing that, we're also having work done inside of the rooms where all these pipes live to make sure that they stay safe and clean and the rooms stay in good shape. So we're doing two birds with one stone, executing both projects simultaneously. We know that when we are able to regather again, music will look different. And so we want to make sure that all of our instruments are in tip-top shape as we worship. Also, just another announcement. Please be looking out for a survey that is being mailed out to some and emailed out to all that we have emails for this week. You should have received it by now, but if you haven't, please let us know. We'll make sure you get it. But it is a regathering for worship survey. We want to know what you think. We want to get data from you to make sure that you feel comfortable with things we might be putting into place and that we know what you, the congregation, are feeling. So please fill that out and get it back to us. And join with me now as we prepare our hearts, our minds.
Let us lift up the name of the Lord and rejoice, for God hears our prayers. Praise the one who brings healing to our pain and causes joy to follow the long night of sorrow. We will not be silent. We will not still our tongues. O Lord, our God, we will give thanks to you forever.
Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto me. beside me, and nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Now, as we gather for our time of prayer, I ask that you would join with me in the unison prayer. Like Elijah, O God, we turn and face you in the midst of the storm. Help us this hour to hear you speak to us, not in the wind or the thunder, nor even in the upheaval of the ground beneath us. Help us to hear you speak to us in our heart of hearts, as that still, small voice amidst the maelstrom, which gives us direction and peace and hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us engage in a time of silent, prayerful reflection. Lord, we gather this day and we lift up to you much and all who we would pray for. We especially lift up to you Jay Taylor, Ralph and Colleen Kane, Beth, Jim Powers, those who are suffering and struggling, those who are dealing with injustice, those who live in places of occupation, those whose land has been stolen from them. We pray for the migrant and the refugee. We pray for the one who serves our country. We pray for those who are away from loved ones. We pray for those who live in unsafe situations. And we pray for those who cause people to live in unsafe situations. Lord, this world is a confusing, complicated mess, and it seems too often that those of us here in the day-to-day are the ones that get caught in the machinery and ground up by it. And yet we know that you are above and over all of it, and that you grant us presence, peace, and assurance in the midst of any storm or maelstrom that threatens to overwhelm us. We know you are with us now and always, O Lord, in the hard times and in the good times, in the sad times and the happy times. We ask that you continue to pour out your Spirit amongst us, and that we would have the ability and the wisdom and the Spirit to recognize it and to be attuned to it and its work. And in all that we do, we ask that you would help us always remember your Son and the mighty gift that he gave to us of forgiveness, reconciliation, and grace. And so we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Welcome to our second week of having a children's moment in our worship service. We're trying to be more aware of the fact that we are not together, but we want to be able to make sure we lift up a myriad of things when we gather. So if you have a child who's celebrating something and you would like us to lift that up, please send that in to me or the church office, and then we'll make sure that as long as you get that in by about 2 p.m. on Thursday, that is included in our service. Likewise, if you have a prayer you would like lifted up, please get that into us as well, and we can make sure to lift that up during our service. For our children's moment today, I thought I'd do something really cool. My wife, as some of you know, is an illustrator. And so first, I just said the thing, but I didn't actually do it. We do want to lift up with joy Gracie Johnson. She's getting a puppy, and its name is Duck. And so the Johnsons are very excited. And I know Gracie's very excited for that addition to their life. And Gracie's one of our youth, and so we're just very glad and hopeful that that becomes a good transition as that dog is welcomed into their lives, and we're excited for that. Now, for the children's moment today, some of you may know my wife is an illustrator, and she's had an ability to do a whole lot of different things, but one of the things that she did early on after graduating school was a children's Bible. It's called My Little Book of Bible Stories, and we're talking about Daniel, and so today... Today, I was going to read the book of the story of Daniel in the lion's den, which is our scripture today in Big Church as well. But I thought I would read it, and you can see her beautiful illustrations that she did, as long as I can hold the book correctly. Once there was a good man named Daniel who loved God with all his heart. Daniel was a friend of the king, and some men became very jealous of him. They plotted against him and threw him into a pit full of lions. Daniel prayed to God that he would not be hurt. There he goes in the lion's den. When the king found out what had happened to Daniel, he went straight to the lion pit. He found Daniel safe and well. His faith in God had saved him from the lions. And that's the end of Daniel and the lions in that book. The story is much longer, and we'll get to that later, but the story of Daniel and the lions reminds me of the importance of knowing when to stand up and to have faith in God, and knowing when to trust in God. Now, hopefully none of us find ourselves in a lion's pit, and if you go to the zoo, please remember that jumping into a lion cage is punishable by law and is strictly prohibited and forbidden, and I ask you not to do that. But please also take away from this story the fact that sometimes we have to do things. Sometimes it's standing up to a bully, or sometimes it's telling our parents something they don't want to hear, like mom and dad, mom and mom, dad and dad, my parents, my caregiver. I need you to know that for us to be safe, we need to wear masks when we go out in public. And that could take courage, and that can take strength to have to do that, to talk to our parents or talk to a bully at school or someone else or one of our friends, and stand up to them and tell them that there's a right way and a wrong way. And when we have to face those tough situations, we're glad that God is on our side and we can pray to God for strength and guidance in those situations. So Daniel teaches us the importance of having faith in God, even when one finds oneself in the most adverse situation. And so hopefully you kids can take away from that, no matter what age of kid you are, that you could take away from that the importance of being grounded in faith. And so we give thanks for Daniel, and we give thanks for his faith and for what God did for him. And now let us continue with our worship service.
Our first scripture reading is Daniel 6, verses 1 through 9. Darius decided to appoint 120 chief administrators throughout the kingdom, and to set over them three main officers to whom they would report, so that the king wouldn't have to be bothered with too much. One of these main officers was Daniel. Because of his extraordinary spirit, Daniel soon surpassed the other officers and chief administrators, so much so that the king had plans to set him over the entire kingdom. As a result, the other officers and the chief administrators tried to find some problem with Daniel's work for the kingdom. But they couldn't find any problem or corruption at all because Daniel was trustworthy. He wasn't guilty of any negligence or corruption. So these men said, "We won't find any fault in Daniel unless we can find something to use against him from his religious practice." So these officers and chief administrators ganged together and went to the king. They said to him, "Long live King Darius. All the other officers of the kingdom, the ministers, the chief administrators, the royal associates, and the governors advise the king to issue an edict and enforce a law that for 30 days anyone who says prayers to any god or human being except you, your majesty, will be thrown into a pit of lions. Now, your majesty, issue the law and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, as per the law of Media and Persia, which cannot be annulled. Because of this, King Darius signed the document containing the law."
Our second lesson this morning comes from Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 28. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went to his house. Now his upper room had open windows that faced Jerusalem. Daniel knelt down, prayed, and praised his God three times that day, just like he always did. Just then, these men, all ganged together, came upon Daniel, praying and seeking mercy from his God. They then went and talked to the king about the law. "Your majesty, didn't you sign a law that for 30 days any person who prayed to any god or human being besides you, your majesty, would be thrown into a pit of lions?" The king replied, "The decision is absolutely firm in accordance with the laws of Media and Persia, which cannot be annulled." So they said to the king, "One of the Judean exiles, Daniel, has ignored you, your majesty, as well as the law you signed. He says his prayers three times a day." When the king heard this report, he was very unhappy. He decided to rescue Daniel and did everything he could do to save Daniel before the sun went down. But these men, all ganged together, came and said to the king, "You must realize, your majesty, that the law of Media and Persia, including every law and the edict the king has issued, cannot be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and hurled him into the pit of lions. The king said to Daniel, "Your God, the one you serve so consistently, will rescue you." A single stone was brought and placed over the entrance to the pit. The king sealed it with his own ring and with those of his princes so that Daniel's situation couldn't be changed. The king then went home to his palace and fasted through the night. No pleasures were brought to him, and he couldn't sleep. At dawn, at the first sign of light, the king rose and rushed to the lion's pit. As he approached it, he called out to Daniel, worried, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, the one you serve so consistently, able to rescue you from the lions?" Then Daniel answered the king, "Long live the king. My God sent his messenger who shut the lion's mouth. They haven't touched me because I was judged innocent before my God. I haven't done anything wrong to you either, your majesty." The king was thrilled. He commanded that Daniel be brought up out of the pit, and Daniel was lifted out. Not a scratch was found on him because he trusted in his God. The king then ordered that the men who had accused Daniel be brought and thrown into the lion's pit, including their wives and children. They hadn't even reached the bottom of the pit before the lions overpowered them, crushing all their bones. Then King Darius wrote the following decree: "To all the peoples, nations, and languages inhabiting the entire earth, I wish you much peace. I now issue this command: in every region of my kingdom, all people must fear and revere Daniel's God, because he is the living God. God stands firm forever. His kingship is indestructible. God's rule will last until the end of time. He is rescuer and savior. God performs signs and miracles in heaven and on earth. Here's the proof. He rescued Daniel from the lion's power." And so Daniel was made prosperous during the reign of Darius and during the reign rule of Cyrus the Persian. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. This is a tough one for Daniel to get out of. A law is passed saying that no one can worship or pray to any god other than the king for 30 whole days. And Daniel knows that he cannot do that. He cannot go even one day without praying to God. So Daniel does what he has to do, and he continues to pray to God, knowing that it is a trap. Daniel finds himself victim to something we call schemes and situations. Often in ministry and in churches, we will encounter a variety of people. I'm sure all of us can think of one person who engages in church or in some other aspect of our lives, workplace, communities we live in. We can think of one person who engages in schemes and situations. This is what Daniel has fallen victim to. Not so much that Daniel has honestly done anything wrong, but that Daniel has fallen victim to the fact that he has power and he is a good man. And there are those who covet what Daniel has and do not like that Daniel is this outsider who holds this authority. And so they scheme to be able to usurp Daniel, usurp his power, seize it for their own. They thwart the king's love of Daniel by convincing the king to pass this law and then using that law to get to Daniel. And the king says, I did not think this through. I loved Daniel, but I did make this law. And even though the king is the king, he says, I cannot unwrite this law that I have written. And so therefore, I must throw Daniel in the lion's pit. Even though the king has faith, the king says, Daniel will be saved by his God. The king believes that Daniel will be okay, yet at the same time, the king is fearful for Daniel. Now, the king is the one who put Daniel in the situation. He could have said to his advisors, I know I made that law, and I don't care because I like Daniel. But he doesn't do that. He allows Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. The king has fallen victim to schemes and situations, because even those at the top of the power pyramid, as the king is, are vulnerable, are human, are fickle, are weak, and are not perfect. So the king, the most powerful king of the age, falls victim to schemes and situations. Scheming and situationing is what we do when we are not a kingdom people. It is a way that we live when we are not of God, but are of the world, trying to manipulate things always to our advantage. We see this happen often, very often. We see constantly in the news and other places, schemes and situations playing out and coming to fruition. And so we know, as people who have gone to church and as people who live in the world, that this is not something unique to Daniel. This is not a situation that only Daniel finds himself in. It's a situation repeated over and over again. The difference is that Daniel is thrown into a literal lion's den. We must be cautious as people of faith when we fear being put in schemes and situations, but also when we claim and fear things such as, I don't want to be persecuted, I don't want to have harm brought upon me, to recognize the difference between an actual lion's den and something that is just an inconvenience. Right now, we are all being asked by the governor of our state and by many, many, many people to wear masks to help protect our neighbor. And some are saying that that is against their freedom. Some are saying that that causes them harm. Some are saying that it's not right, that they should be forced to do this. But this is not a lion's den issue. It is an inconvenience, certainly. As an asthmatic in a building right now with no air conditioning is definitely an issue in terms of ease of breathing, but it doesn't mean that I cannot breathe. It is not a lion's den issue. Likewise, there are many things that arise in our lives that we treat as though it is being thrown into a lion's den, but that after the fact, or even in time, we recognize it's not really a lion's den. Having to talk to someone from work about their behavior is not a lion's den moment oftentimes. Now, if we are consulting our boss or our superior about a behavior that is inappropriate and it could potentially lead to them retaliating by having us fired, that is certainly more of a lion's den. But if we just don't like the fact that an employee sits at their desk and clicks their pin, that's not a lion's den. As Christians, our job is to use our discernment to recognize when we truly are in a lion's den situation and to recognize and call others out when they are scheming. Because it is not Christian to do backwards backroom scheming in order to achieve our ends, to play politics to achieve our ends. And yet I'm sure many of us can think of someone that we would accuse within church or who is a person of faith that has engaged and manipulated faith and others in that way. Schemes and situations do nothing but cause harm to the body and should be avoided at all costs. We are not to be a scheming people. We are not to be a situation people who don't think things through. We are not to be a people who are harmful to others and who overblow the situations that we ourselves are facing. Daniel's faith sees him through a lion's den. But we also have to keep in mind that this is a metaphor for the whole of the Israelite experience in Babylon. All of the Israelites taken to Babylon feel as though they are in a lion's den, and they fear that they will not come back, and that they will not be the same, and that they will never be able to return to Jerusalem. And if they do, they will not be seen as proper Jews because they will have been defiled by having to live in this far-off land. And so this existence in Babylon is for them a lion's den. Every day is a test of their faith, and the law passed is an example of that. It is a scheme to take away their relationship with God, to try and break them off from the God over everything, to get them to cave to the ways of the world. And yet we see Daniel present a clear leadership example of what it is to stand up and say that this is not the way. We should have faith in God no matter what situation we find ourselves in, and God will protect us from this lion's den. The people will be protected. They will find their way back home, though Daniel will stay behind to continue to advise in the king's court. But the lion's den and the nature of schemes and situations are things that we must always be watching out for. And when we see someone else trying to trick and trap someone else into a lion's den, we are called to stand up against that. We are not to be a people who go, oh, they're getting thrown in the lion's den. Oh, that's good for them. We are to be a people. We are called to be the ones who stand up and say, that is not right. We must stop this injustice from happening. Schemes, situations, trusting in God, a God who will be with us and is with us, even in the most difficult of times. Every day right now feels like something is threatening to overwhelm us. Our mental health may be on the ropes. Our physical health may be waning. We may just be exhausted from the everything. And the news does not help. Turning on the 24-hour news cycle and seeing over and over stories about politics and COVID and the world and just the state of everything is exhausting. Right now, living is kind of like being in exile. We are cut off from all that we once knew, and everything is different. And yet, in the midst of that difference, God is still there, and we must remember that. God is with us. God protects us. In whatever lion's den we find ourselves, but God challenges us always to remind ourselves that God is with us and that God desires that we would have the discernment and the wisdom to recognize a true lion's den and a lion's den that we have merely created for ourselves. So let us be the ones who stand up against tyranny, and let us be the ones who stand up for what is right. Because in there, we will find the guidance of the Spirit and we will find God. Just like Daniel does. Amen. For the
forward into freedom from despair. Your world release that redeem from war and hatred. All may come and go in peace. Show us how through care and goodness fear will die and hope increase.
As we come now to our service of offertory, I know that we are not together to place our offerings upon the altar, but that does not mean that we cannot offer much to God. So let us now engage in a spirit of giving, as we pause in a moment to offer ourselves and our hearts, our minds, and our souls, to ask God to help us be generous and to be an offering generous people. And let us join in our doxology. Let us join in the unison prayer. Help us to trust in you, O Lord, to hold fast to your teaching and guidance. Grant us the wisdom to be true disciples in a world full of options. Help us to be more fully your disciples in all aspects of our lives. May we live generously. Amen. As we prepare to go back out into the world, I know that it is a chaotic, confusing place fraught with many dangers. And yet we know that in the midst of all of that, God is and always will be with us. So may you face each day confident in the power of the Lord, steadfast and resolute in faith, and holding close to your heart the knowledge that the best of all is God is with us. So may God be with you till we meet again, and may we join in our benediction response.